Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Well, you know, we've talked about the importance of sleep on these shows, and so many, it's so important. But how important is it for your brain health? And does the myth that people say about your brain really growing while you sleep, is that true? My guest today is Vince Andrich. He's a performance nutrition expert. Welcome to the show, Vince. So tell us about sleep and brain health, and why is sleep quality and quantity so important for your overall health, but more importantly, your brain health?
Well, your brain uses it about 20% of your body's energy daily. And about half of that is used for housekeeping, which clears out metabolic toxins and waste and basically sets the stage for you to imprint new memories and have clear thinking. And that's done during the nighttime while you're sleeping. It's not done during the daytime. You have to be completely down either in deep sleep or REM sleep for that to really take place.
So we hear so much about melatonin and how important that is for sleep, and that if you're not getting good sleep, you're not, you know, producing melatonin. Does that have anything to do with our brains? Are our brains working while we sleep? Are they growing while we sleep?
They can grow, but they're mainly doing the cleaning and repair. So if you know, repair and build are one and the same. So you're taking dead cells away and worn out cells, and you're repairing them and also rebuilding them. And so if you're doing other things, like we've spoke about before, like brain exercises and exercising, then you're going to stimulate the ability to build new neurons and neuronal connections. And that's going to happen while you're sleeping.
Okay, so what do you want to tell us about getting that good night's sleep? Because people with these electronics right now, and I know they affect some of the electrical impulses in our brain, Vince, and when you're looking at your electronics before you go to bed at night, it can really affect how hard you sleep and the quality of your sleep.
Right, and I think you mentioned melatonin and the amount of melatonin in our bloodstream, and that's controlled by a circadian clock, which is controlled by genes that are related to light and dark. So the reason why when you wake up and you look at the sun or you look at a bright day, your eyes automatically release through the pupil, your body's going to get a reduction in melatonin to wake you up. At night, when it gets completely dark or darker, and the darker the better, and that goes to these electronics, then the melatonin can be released naturally because it basically just works on light and day, as if we had no light, which we never did. For a long time, we didn't have the ability to wake up or stay up late and keep the light on or a fire on. So we've been wired to basically adjust to these clock genes are wired to light and day, and that's where melatonin comes in and out. And then also, when you're talking about the electronics, these cheap LED lights and LED screens on iPads and Kindles and phones, they really are designed to wreck sleep, primarily because the light is not natural and it's also disrupting with your melatonin production. So your body, your brain doesn't know if it's supposed to be sleeping or not. In fact, if you have blue light in your room, which I think some chargers have it, and other devices, maybe your TV has a blue light somewhere, a blue dot that basically says it's on, that's really the worst because that is what really signals to the brain it's morning. So you'll have a very difficult time going to sleep with blue light in your room. It really needs to be pitch black, which is difficult. But if you can get toward that, that's the best. And getting away from your electronics because it stimulates brain waves and thinking. And that, along with the light, disrupts your ability to basically create. What you're trying to create is a sleep hygiene regimen, so that this routine can be repeated. And after a while, you'll wind up getting out of this cycle where less sleep equals more stress equals less sleep, and you stay in that cycle and you stay in it. So it takes a while, but if you can get to the point where you're going to bed at the same time or around the same time, force yourself to get up when it's light. Don't sleep in as much. That's kind of a bad habit because it tends to go overboard and make you depressed. It can make you depressed. And so if you get that where you're getting up according to your work schedule and your other schedule, we know there's shift workers that have problems with that. But getting into a new routine that eliminates the light and the noise and clutter and gets you to a point where you'll be tired enough because you're getting up early, then your clock starts to get reset with the light, you know, day-night vis-a-vis light and dark cycle.
Now, you mentioned sleep hygiene, and we've heard about this from sleep specialists and stuff. What do you want people to do as far as sleep hygiene and as far as eating near the nighttime before we go to bed and exercising near the nighttime and before we go to bed, electronics? Give us your best advice on sleep hygiene, Vince.
Well, the best advice is, A, to have the routine. So really to get into a plan that's based around time. And so it should be dark, and it should be dark in the room, dark outside, and within a certain range of time, and then a certain range of time of getting up. Exercise before bed or before you're going to wind down to go to sleep. For some, it can be okay, because the downside of the opposite of exercise, your body will release hormones that have a calming effect. That's why some people go, wow, I'm kind of maybe tired after they exercise. It's not just the physical exercise. It's your body saying it needs to undergo another cycle, which is to rest to repair those muscles you've worked. If it's too close to trying to go to sleep, it could be detrimental. As far as eating goes, most people have a craving for carbohydrate, which isn't so bad. It, you know, you have to keep it in moderation, but it can help release serotonin. I would suggest mixing that with a little bit of protein so it's kind of equal. So you don't go, okay, I didn't eat much, but I'm going to eat a big dollop of something that's kind of sugary at night or high in carbs. But more of a balanced, lower calorie meal, balanced in carbs and in some protein, is probably best. Too much protein at night sometimes can be stimulatory. I know there's some people who are on these higher protein diets and they do have trouble sleeping because, A, they're craving carbohydrates because they're not eating any, and B, the amino acid pool is so high that can be stimulatory. So more of a balanced nighttime snack, and so don't be too vigilant one way or the other, like it's got to be carbs or it has to be no carbs. And exercise within a window where you can wind down before you're going to go through your typical hygiene when you wind up going into the bedroom. And that's another thing. Sleeping on the couch and once in a while isn't, I guess, going to really ruin you, but you have to get in the habit of going to a place where you sleep.
And that's really great advice, because sleep hygiene is so important, and sleep is so important for your brain health. If you missed any of the great information that we're giving out here, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, to RadioMD.com. You can listen on iHeartRadio, iTunes, or the free TuneIn Radio app. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Stay well.